Hi, this is Candace Michelle, and you're listening to KCIW, your community radio station. You know, we're in the midst of a pretty strange time. For most, probably all of us, our lives have been severely disrupted. The economy is in tatters, and the acrimony between the left and the right has become so intense that civility and empathy seem to no longer have a place in our interactions with each other. The great divide between us and them seems to just keep growing wider, fueled by anger and fear on both sides. The logical result is a community further divided, further alienated from anyone not in our own tribe, and increasingly fragile. We're each convinced that our perception of reality is the truth, and therefore anyone who doesn't share it is just plain wrong. But like a giant beach ball made up of unlimited slices of color, what you see all depends on where you're standing. My hope is that this show can help all of us see the other colors by first being willing to entertain the possibility that they exist and learn that there might be some worth in listening to a perspective different than our own. I believe that willingness to include all of us in the discussion will lead to a stronger, more resilient community, something we all want and need. Please join me for my conversations with Brookings Mayor Jake Pieper, a new series called Building Bridges. Hi, and we're back again with another new segment of Building Bridges. Our purpose for this show is to attempt to find solutions to some of the problems our community is facing by finding ways to communicate across ideological and political divides. If the last 4 years, and most particularly 2020, has taught us nothing else, we should now know without a doubt that nothing gets accomplished without reaching out beyond our small circles, looking for common ground, and cooperating with each other. In the Gospel of Mark 3:25, Jesus states, "And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand." Abraham Lincoln used those same words when talking about the division in our country caused by slavery. "A house divided against itself cannot stand. I believe this government cannot endure permanently, half slave and half free. I do not expect the union to be dissolved. I do not expect the house to fall, but I do expect it will cease to be divided. It will become all one thing or all the other." I think those are probably some pretty smart words, Mr. Lincoln. So, here we are, Brookings Mayor Jake Pieper and me, trying to cautiously work our way through sticky problems and divisive issues, coming at most things from completely different perspectives. I think we're doing an okay job. What do you think, Jake?
Yeah, you know.
More or less, right?
More or less, yeah. Hit some, miss some, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah. We haven't taken each other to the mat, right?
And that, no. No. Right?
And what I think is really important to remember and to keep saying, you know, we're not looking for somebody to be the winner in these discussions. That's not the point.
Right.
Right?
Right. Yeah, it's not debate club, you know. I'm not bringing my argument to the table to make my points, to, you know, hear your argument and to try to overcome. That's not what it's about. Because what good? I mean, what good? That wouldn't do any good. I wouldn't waste my time doing that. I'm not interested in that.
Exactly. And a real conversation, which is what I think we try to do, have a real conversation, is not about being right and
no.
Besting the other person. A real conversation is give and take. You hear somebody's perspective on something and you try to understand it. And if they're interested in listening to your perspective, you give it, and, you know, there's an exchange of ideas there, and if you both come away from that conversation without having changed even an iota, then I don't know, that's not a successful conversation to me.
Right.
You know, there ought to be some way that your perception is enhanced, or you know.
Yeah, it's just sharing of knowledge. I would hope that every time I chat with you, my sphere of knowledge increases, for sure.
And I hope for the same thing, that mine increases as well. And I have to say that since I started listening to you on Facebook back in the end of March, I think it was, I've learned a lot. I've learned a lot. And I'm glad to say that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have nearly as narrow a perspective as I had. My perspective has been widened. And come on, that's good.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That is good.
That's not a bad thing.
Right. No, I think we've done well. You know, I mean, I know from on my end, I mean, I try to make a conscious effort not to be disagreeable, you know, and not to try to rebuke everything that you say that I disagree with, you know. I mean, that's the thing. I would imagine you've done the same. Be disagreeable and just mutual respect for each other.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So no taken to the mat yet, but
no,
the night's still and young.
That's true, it is. But I just think that it's more productive if you can listen, you know, really listen to what somebody else is saying without formulating your answer, you know?
Right.
When you're listening, because if you're formulating your answer, it means you're not really listening, right?
Yeah.
You're not really. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a classic too. Yeah. Listen to one person and take little notes about little misspeaks that they did, you know, different things that you can pounce on as soon as it's your turn to talk. That's not real. That's not real discussion.
No. And it seems like it's a waste of time.
Yeah.
So, you know, all of my folks out there, if any of you are looking for how I should be jumping on Mayor Pieper and, you know, refuting his stuff, just don't bother looking.
Because yeah.
It's not going to happen. That's not what I'm doing.
Yeah, I get
it. This is called building bridges.
Building bridges, not burning them.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
I get those messages too after our interviews of, you know, well, you should have said this, or you know, what about this? This would have got her, you know? And it's just, it's like, well, you think I'm spending an hour every Wednesday just to get Candace Michelle? Like, what, you know? My time isn't more valuable to me than that?
Because I can't think of anything more valuable to do than that, right? Let's get her.
I mean,
come on, people.
Yeah, exchange of information, you know. And another thing that I've spoken about on my chats about it too, that you have a position or a perspective or an argument, and I have one of my own, and there's key things in your argument, you know. And to recognize one point in your argument as true doesn't mean that, like, I'm putting a stamp of approval on the entire argument and what comes after the argument and everything. It's just, it's recognizing one thing that makes sense. You
exactly.
Know?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Like I've noticed that there's a person who, he and I have go back several years. But he's definitely on the opposite side of whatever this interesting divide is. But he and I absolutely agree about the homeless issue. We absolutely agree. We may not agree about anything else, ever, about anything else. Well, maybe also pot. But
you know what's funny? Before that came out of your mouth, I wondered, pot?
And that was exactly it, yes.
Oh, that's funny.
But we absolutely agree on the homeless issue. And you know, and I will take that. I want the common ground. I want it.
Yeah.
It's the only way to move forward. It's the only way to move forward. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So, how are you now, Jake?
I'm doing I'm doing all right. My work week has been kind of strange. My dad's gone out of town, so I'm having to cover the retail end of stuff that I'm not typically covering.
Yeah,
so that's, puts me behind.
Not a happy work stuff.
No. Yeah. Retail sucks.
You don't like retail.
Sucks. I mean, I hate to say it, but because
it does.
It's retail is tough. That is a tough gig. I'd rather be out working in the rain.
Yeah, yeah. So is your dad okay? He's not sick or anything?
Oh, no. Okay. No, he's just,
good.
Nothing serious.
Yeah. He's just partying somewhere.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
So, how about the Capitol today?
How about the nation's capital today? Yeah, and it wasn't only the nation's capital, right? I saw quite a bit of stuff out of Sacramento. Salem didn't seem like there was a whole lot going on, but
no. But I think Washington State, there was something happening.
Was there?
I think they were outside Inslee's house or something like that.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but at the Capitol, disturbing, right? And unsettling, disappointing, saddening, to see it work out like that. Just hoping that it all wraps up.
Yeah, because that's just not, it's not the way we do things here, you know? I mean, it's, you know, I certainly understand being upset about the votes. I certainly understand being annoyed or angry, or I get all of that. I mean, there were a lot of us who were kind of in that same boat 4 years ago, but we don't try to take over with violence. That's not who we are as a country. We abide by the legal.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It definitely went a bad direction today. I mean, I would say that most of what took place there and most people that showed up at Washington, D.C. were perfectly within their rights and nothing that I would say anything bad about. You know, it's happened plenty of times where there's been protests at the Capitol. But
absolutely.
But, you know, vandalism, violence, forcing yourself in, kicking your feet up on Nancy Pelosi's desk. No, no, no. And it just, you know, there were, I was watching live a couple of different news outfits, one major network, and then I started hitting kind of the smaller, you know, homegrown news outfits. And there was a lot of talk of like, you know, look, guys, this is setting us back. Speaking from the right side, you know, not the right, not necessarily correct.
No, I know what you mean.
Yeah, I know. You know, recognizing that, ooh, this isn't what we wanted. This is taking a wrong turn. This is setting us back. You know, as soon as it goes violent, that isn't civil disobedience. That's criminal acts.
Right.
So.
Right.
Yeah, too bad, right? Really, 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 really sad.
It is too bad. It is too bad. You know, we encourage discourse, and we encourage that kind of, you know, getting involved and all of that stuff. But when it's taken to the extreme where, you know, you've broken into a building that you're not supposed to be in, and are trashing it, you've gone a little too far. You've just gone too far.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I was glad to not see some things that could have happened. I mean, you know, it's the Capitol building is still there. Nothing was set on fire.
Right.
You know,
right.
I mean, so you've got some broken glass and stuff to clean up, but yeah, nothing set on fire.
Unfortunately, there is a woman who lost her life, and that's really a shame.
Yeah,
you know, I would imagine that woman has family, and somebody tonight is pretty sad that she's no longer with them.
Yeah, and I didn't see what the what kind of the details of that were, or where she was when she was shot. Yeah. Or
I mean, I don't think any
inside of the Capitol building.
It was inside. Yeah, it was inside. And I don't think any of us know the details at this point. And I would imagine they're not releasing the details until, you know, they've got it kind of figured out,
right?
Buttoned down and figured out. But it's like if there was a purpose to that, the purpose, it backfired. I mean, it backfired because out of that, breaching of what is basically for democracy is sacred space, the senators and the congressmen and women are pushing back. I mean, you know, that the only thing that that accomplished was for them to say, oh, no, 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 no. You know, we don't get pushed around by a mob. That's not what happens here. You know, we do our duty. We took an oath to defend the Constitution. And by God, that's what we're going to do. And, you know, so if the purpose of that was to, in fact, stop the forward movement of putting Joe Biden in as the next president, it totally backfired.
Right, right. As happens sometimes with you know, riots and just a real civil disobedient group of folks that, you know, they have a cause and want everybody to know their cause and then push it too far and it backfires.
Yep. Yep. It's too bad.
It is too bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think it'll wrap up. They're still going, I think, right now, right? As we're talking.
Congress?
I think, yeah, it was in the Senate. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Senate chambers. Yeah. They're still rolling.
In fact, I can see my husband's got the TV on.
Oh, yeah.
On and
I can
see it in the glass. So, yeah, it's still going on.
Still
absolutely.
There. Yeah.
And I think, you know, the last thing I heard was a supposition that after they're done talking about Arizona, because right now that's what all of the talking is about the objection to Arizona's vote. Mm. Once they're done with that and take the vote on that, from what I'm hearing, there aren't going to be any more objections.
That's
so
it. Yeah.
They had planned to object to Pennsylvania and, you know, a couple of other ones, but they're thinking that's probably not going to happen now.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, those guys and young women are probably really tired.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's.
I mean, I'm sure they've gotten fed, but they'd probably like to get some sleep.
Yeah, right? I'm sure they've gotten fed. I don't feel too bad for them. I mean, they're you know, come on, they're.
No, no.
That's their
Although
job.
It looks like it was scary. You know, and I've seen a couple of pictures where they had barricaded the door, I guess, into the house, and they were the mob was breaking out the windows kind of thing.
I did see
that. And the cops had their guns drawn, and it's like, that would be a little bit scary.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Spooky.
Yeah. I wouldn't like that. And who in their right mind thought that when they went to work today, you know, that was what was going to happen.
They had to have expected something, though. I mean, I think
we all knew something was going to happen. Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm kind
known.
Of surprised that they weren't better prepared. You know, they had the security people there for the Capitol, but there was no National Guard or anything anywhere around.
Right.
They had to call them in. Of course, again, they may have been playing that really smart in that, you know, you don't engage, right? You just kind of let them work their anger out, kind of like a kid having a temper tantrum, you know?
Yeah.
Just kind of let them work it out and express themselves and
Those people deal with protests and stuff. I mean, all the time.
Right.
You know, I'm sure they're pretty well professionals at dealing with large masses of people that are pissed.
Right. Right. Do you think it's going to have any impact on our local stuff? I mean, you know, we've got quite a few people here who are maintaining on Facebook still that Trump won mm-hmm. and that this election was fraudulent. Do you think we're going to see any kind of unrest or anything?
Oh, not. We won't. I seriously doubt we'll see any sort of unrest. There's nothing to. There's no target. There's no real target here to protest or to riot against. So I don't see
it. Would be like they'd have to go and go up to Renee Colin and tell her that she.
Yeah.
fraudulently.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
How does that work?
Right. Yeah. And just, you know, and so, yeah, you and I, we say that and we can laugh at it because we both recognize that it's like absolutely ridiculous, right? Well, yeah. All across this country, there's a whole bunch of Renee Colins that counted a bunch of votes, yes. You know?
Yes.
So, no, I think we'll be fine.
And all of them have been in cahoots? I just, you know, it's a hard concept to get your head wrapped around, you know?
Yeah, it's a crazy, I mean, you know, I'm young and probably still naive. It's a crazy thought. I would never even think to really question the election results. You know, I mean, I'm sure it's possible to have some, you know, it's obviously possible to have some fraudulent stuff happen, but
not in the millions.
No,
right?
I don't think so. No.
I mean, you know, 10 here, 15 there, maybe, right. You know, a couple of dead people that somehow got missed. I mean, but millions?
Right.
Yeah, that would have to be, if you think about the effort that would have taken across the country, it's, you know.
Yeah, I mean, like, although I do kind of see and understand some of, you know, what would lead some people to believe that something nefarious did in fact take place, because I can believe that there are enough people across this country that would literally do anything for Donald Trump to not be president again, that if they have the power to influence it, even in a illegal way, there's enough folks that hate Trump enough. I could see people's ethics being compromised and them doing things to you know, hurt Trump, hurt the election towards Trump,
I don't see that.
No, I don't.
I think that by and large, most of the people in this country prize our government, our democracy, above.
The
personalities.
Right, and I would agree that most and by and large, sure. You know, I would agree with that, but
I just can't see how enough people to have made a difference could have possibly been in cahoots, right?
Yeah,
because
I don't know. I mean,
50
I don't
states.
I don't know really. Like, so in for the state of Oregon, you know, how many people would have had to have been involved if there was some sort of, you know, election tampering.
Right.
I mean, you could be talking about 10 people or 100 people. I don't know. You know, it's.
But it would certainly not be one.
It'd certainly not be one, right? And that's my point, is that what it would take, you know, for something like that to happen. In the day of age of whistleblowing and, you know, recording devices, I don't buy it. I don't buy it.
Yep.
And I heard an interesting. Before we got on and the Senate was still chatting, I got to listen to Ron Paul, Rand Paul, I'm sorry, mm-hmm. for just a minute. And he was reminding all of his good, Republican colleagues that hold to the sovereignty of states, you know, and bringing that up, that we have certified electors from 50 states and some of you think you want to usurp that and completely take federal oversight over it, you know. slippery slope.
Which is so completely not the conservative
stance. Oh, right.
Stance.
Yeah, it's definitely not my stance, you know.
Yeah.
So as far as I'm concerned, I'm happy with the state of Oregon and the election that they held, you know.
Right.
That's it.
Right. So interesting. So we have all of the hullabaloo going on in Washington, D.C., bringing it sort of closer to home. How about the hullabaloo going on at the county?
At the county? Yeah. No one's contesting election results, but
no,
you know, you can still have a big old crap sandwich even without that, man.
I mean, I am scratching my head. I do not get it.
I don't either. I don't either.
And I mean, what on earth is going on?
Yeah, it's crazy. And what a travesty it is that you can have 100 county employees, half a dozen elected county officials doing their job, doing all right, and you've got three people that just can paint this entire county with a big old circus brush, you know, and all it takes is those three or even just one of them, you know, can just paint the whole county. Yeah. Disheartening, really disheartening. And their meetings today were as bad as any of the other ones.
I didn't see the one today, although I saw somebody posting on Facebook that it was pretty, it's pretty awful.
Yeah. Just horrible.
And they reversed the censure. Is that?
Yeah.
Is
I don't even know. Yeah. How that even works. I mean,
right. And why Herzog would think that he had any standing to even vote on that?
Yeah.
Given that it was done by a previous board.
Well, and that's I didn't get. I've never been a part of any sort of censure on the city council, so I wasn't super sure, like, exactly how does that work? Like, it's, you know, they're talking about it like it's something. It's registered, and so it's there forever until a board votes to remove it. And in my mind, the censure happened. It happened that day when the commission voted on it, and it's done. It was, you know.
Yeah, it doesn't get removed.
It doesn't just get removed. You know, you can't. No. You don't just take it back. I mean, yeah, it was voted on the day that it was voted on. That was it.
Exactly.
Court voice was censured. You know, and
yes,
in my mind,
exactly.
That's it.
Yeah. I don't think that goes away.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I know. Yeah, I don't get it. And I don't get why John Herzog seems to be at a complete loss for what's been going on. You know, I don't understand how somebody can run for a seat like county commissioner and during the time he's running, not listen to the meetings, not be there if he can, and not understand the issues. I'm scratching my head here.
Yeah, that was pretty strange. I mean, just going from, you know, not I don't know exactly what Herzog did in preparation, but just going from my perspective, what it looks like to me is that he took his seat not up to speed. He took his seat in a position that he should have been in months ago when he was thinking about running. You know, during the whole campaign thing. You know, I am used to seeing council candidates sitting in meetings for 6 months before the election, you know? The ones that I didn't see sitting there, I had to ask because I wanted to know, and sure enough they're watching meetings, right? And that's fine, and that's the way it should be. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Herzog definitely, he seems like he just took a seat and it's like starting from scratch on day one. Which is disappointing. You can get away with that when things are kind of running smoothly and you have like a strong board and you're just kind of joining them. But obviously anybody could see that John Herzog is taking a seat and going to be kind of siding with one commissioner over the other. You know, it's a power dynamic of who you're really kind of allied with on the commission.
Yeah. And I think having three commissioners is probably a bad idea because it's too few. You know, you then set something up where if there's only three, then,
yeah,
you know, right?
Yeah.
It's a bad idea. But, you know, he's got to side with one or the other. And I don't know. I think he chose the wrong side.
Yeah. And I hope he keeps an open mind and just takes one issue at a time. But that's easier said than done when you have that kind of, toxicity going on there. It's a crazy time that probably calls for more drastic measures. And if I was sitting down, I'd take a side and have it out and see who's left standing at the end and then move on, you know?
Yeah. I'm not sure that I can even see how the current Board of Commissioners can function.
I don't either. They have, after their general meeting, they had a workshop today and I listened to, half a dozen, maybe eight county employees, and, you know, including, oh, even more than that, actually, now that I think about it, because elected spoke too, you know, department heads and elected officials in this county and the imploring the commissioners and trying to get them to understand the, real ugly and damaging culture right now in the county, and how the employees feel like they're being treated and just what that does to morale and what that does to production, you know, when you have the majority of county employees feeling this way and just the absolute dysfunction that it brings. And they're talking today about another reorganization, looking at a brand new director of operations that just moved here with his family and bought a home and, you know, looking at him and saying, hey, you know, I don't know how long you're going to be around. You might be gone. And it's just,
wow. Yeah.
The sad thing is though, is that it affects you and I, because it's just going to end up costing a lot of stinking money, and it's not their money. It's our money. It's going to end up costing us money and a lot of it, you know?
And when you look at the finances of the county, they're so bad anyway,
yeah,
that, you know, to have any expense that should not be incurred. And that's not even talking about the potential lawsuits.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you're an employee and you are facing harassment on the job,
yeah,
come on,
yeah,
right? And so that means that's, again, our tax money that is on the line for something like that, which is, I mean, it's just, it's appalling.
Yeah.
It's just appalling.
It is appalling. And I've been on, I've been in the place where I was, you know, sideways of city staff, and there was a serious thinking, you know, crevice in between us, and have had times where I had that mentality of, well, the whippings will stop when morale improves, so, you know, sort of thing, and in my time I have heard that low morale song, you know, before. And there have been times when I heard it that I thought, you know, you guys need to buck up. If you think it's rough in here, take a walk outside, take a walk down Main Street and start talking to people in the private sector. You guys don't have it rough here. Okay. But, you know, county business, so much of the county business, as far as the commissioners go, it's all operated in public, and we can see it, and I've seen it. I've watched their meetings, and they're conducting business at those meetings, and I've seen how county employees are spoken to, and it's just, I'm not surprised the county is in the state that it's in, you know, with the road they've been going down recently. And
it's just kind of embarrassing.
Oh, it's, you know, when, it's super when, embarrassing.
When you think about what the rest of Oregon, you know, is thinking about Curry County, it's like, really, you guys can't even put one foot in front of the other. Yeah. I mean, it's like, wow.
Yep, how embarrassing. And how embarrassing for the people that are, like, you know, up there every day.
The staff,
people working up there and everything.
Exactly. Trying to make a difference, working hard.
Yeah, doing their thing, you know, and just and the constant change and just kind of living off the whims of county commissioners, you know.
Yeah, that I just think the system's bad. You know, I think that sooner or later the people of Curry County have to come to grips with that the system that we've got in place, this system of government, where you've got three county commissioners who are paid and they have hands-on ability with staff, is just not working.
Right.
It's just not working.
Right.
I mean, it, you know, I look at the city of Brookings and, you know, we've got five people on council, not paid. So, you know that nobody is on there for personal gratification in terms of money because there isn't any, right? So, that's good, right? And you've got a paid administrator for the city. And that person is the one who runs the city.
Yeah.
The council gives advice and says, this is the path that we want you to go, but it's up to the administrator to make sure that everybody's in time with the music, right?
Yeah, no, the single most important thing we do is hire a city manager. You know, I mean, that's really it. That's the single most important thing that we do. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's, I think a lot of forms of government can work with the right people. And even great forms of government can fail with the wrong people. But it would seem to me that the system right now, just because the proof is in the pudding, and the commissioners that we're electing, it's not working. It's definitely not working. And the two, both Court Boyce and John Herzog, have mentioned and mentioned numerous times today about how they believe it's the will of the county voters to not have a county administrator. The reason that they believe that is because the county voted down a home rule charter twice. Okay.
Which I don't really understand that.
Well,
what that home rule thing is.
Oh, basically it's just a new charter government. You know, it's just new constitution for the county and how the government's going to be set up. You know, it was a big document and it was a big thing. Okay. And a lot of people voted for a lot of different reasons. Okay. Having a county administrator was a part of that. It was a portion of that. Curry County voters weren't asked, do you want to have a county administrator or not? I mean, it was, you know, there were a lot of things on those ballots, especially the first one that came out, that were wrong, in my opinion, and a few things that I don't even think were legal necessarily. And so, I mean, to
leave it to Curry County.
that's what happens when you have a homegrown, you know, grassroots thing. Things like that happen. You know, things like that happen. Right. But so it was voted down twice. The first time, if there was a single issue with the first time it was voted down, it was because it was proposed to have the county sheriff appointed instead of elected. And I think that singular issue right there brought a lot of no votes. But the two county commissioners hanging their hat on the fact that we don't need a county administrator because these two charters were voted down, that's flawed. That's seriously flawed. You know, I'm not sure what they're, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, it is a good idea to have some insulation between county employees and the Board of Commissioners. it makes sense.
And that's even in a good scenario, right, where your county commissioners are reasonable and, you know.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there should be insulation.
Absolutely.
Individual department heads should not have to deal with personalities,
right,
of the commissioners.
Right.
That's just not. Yeah.
Well, and as the commissioners themselves should see that it's good for them to have that insulation. The Brookings City Council, we keep ourselves separated from city staff for a reason. It's because, you know, we make a lot of decisions that can affect city staff, and I don't want my opinion biased because I have a poker game on Thursday night with the public works director. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so there's a separation there. And right, I'm friends with a lot of city employees and have a good professional relationship. I don't have a personal relationship with any city employee, and I never have. We don't go out for drinks or nothing. It's just not how it works. So yeah,
which is a good thing.
It is a good thing.
That's a good thing. Exactly.
It should work that way, and there should be the county employees should be insulated from the political aspects of the Board of Commissioners.
And we've lost quite a few staff people.
Oh yeah,
from the county.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And that's it, and it's all down to personality. You know, it's all down to how they were treated, and you know,
yeah.
It's
and some of those losses cost us a lot. You know, mm-hmm, when you're talking about high level staff, mm-hmm, it's been a costly couple years, man, in the county. Mm-hmm. Holy smokes!
One of the things that I heard John Herzog say at the, I guess it was at the meeting that happened a couple of days ago, was he was talking about how he was coming into this fresh and didn't really know anything, you know,
yeah,
which right away it was kind of appalling. But he said, I don't even know where the bathroom is.
Yeah, I know.
And I thought,
I know.
What?
I know. What a meme.
So you've never even been in the building?
Well, and I would like to think he was joking, but. Yeah, what a way to sum it up. It was tough for me not to throw that out there on my Facebook chat last time, you know, because that just, you know, that's a real easy little dig. But that comment, it was very telling, right? And it really, it summed a lot up, you know, don't even know where the bathroom is.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
you don't,
yeah,
don't know where a lot of stuff is. And
yeah,
and what's been going on, and I just
and how can you not? I mean, that's I guess that's the thing that,
yeah,
that is kind of perplexing to me, is like, really? I mean, you'd kind of have to be on an island somewhere to not know what's been going on with the county commissioners for the last couple of years. I mean, really?
You know? I haven't spoken to Herzog since he was sworn in, and I don't know exactly what sort of preparation he had or what he has seen or who he's met with, or, you know, I don't know what he's done to prepare himself. I don't remember it being discussed at that virtual league forum. I don't remember him saying anything about it then either, but I'm hopeful though. He can come up to speed. You know, he's got.
You know, I'm finding you to be a little bit of a Pollyanna lately. That you keep saying you're hopeful.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Jake, you're the guy with the half empty glass,
I know.
Not the half full one.
Hopeful, yeah. Hopeful. Man, you had to get me with that, because I try so hard being positive.
Sorry.
I mean, what do you want me to say, man? Holy smokes!
I'm sorry.
Believe me.
Was that me taking you to the math?
No, I'm so sorry. Believe me. Naturally, I'm thinking, recall. You know, it's like this ain't working. This ain't working.
Yeah,
you got 6 months, and it's thinking recall time, because I'm tired of watching the county operate like this, and it's been going on for a long, long time. And if you put your name on a ballot, the expectations that I have for you as my county commissioner are a whole lot higher than what the bar seems to be that you're trying to reach. And it's just, it's not playtime. I mean, it's real stuff going on, and it's important, and it's time to get stinking buck the crap up and do what you're paid to do, you know?
I mean, there's 23,000 lives that are involved, right? Yeah. I mean, that's our population is, you know, I mean, that's a lot of lives that are kind of sitting on the shoulders of those three guys. And, you know, I would like to think that they're taking it seriously.
Yeah. And I mean, in some ways I am actually truthfully hopeful, because I think you can learn. I learned, you know. The problem is we don't necessarily have like a whole bunch of time for someone to come up to speed. That's the deal, you know.
Yep.
It's not the right time to be learning on the job. You know,
No.
We'll see what happens. You know, there's big personalities up there at the county, which a big personality you can usually see pretty quickly, right? And people that are like that really show everybody who they are. And so I'm hopeful that Herzog will learn and you know, get up to speed ASA pronto and, you know, start making some wiser decisions. I hope. Hopeful.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I know.
You're supposed to be the hopeful one. I know.
I would love to be hopeful. I really would, you know, because I am. Usually I'm Pollyanna. It's like, we're good. But I've been here since 2004. And I have watched the circus for years up there. And my experience of it is that it keeps getting worse. It just keeps devolving. It's way worse now than it was 4 years ago. It's mind-boggling.
Yeah.
That it just keeps getting worse. So I don't know what to say. You know how much hope I have? I have zero hope that this Board of Commissioners can do the job. Absolutely zero hope. And that's sad. I mean, that's just sad.
Yeah. And I would agree that the three, I don't think there's anything left to do but to lose at least one of them. Honestly,
at least one
of them. Yeah.
I mean, frankly, I'd like to see all three of them just go away and let's have a brand new slate of people who actually care, you know, who really are motivated, smart, and have enough experience living in this county that they know where to go.
Yeah.
That they know how to, you know, and it should be more than three. I mean, you know, there should be a minimum of five people up there so that we don't get into this two versus one situation.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so destructive. It's so destructive. And, you know, calling each other names, and it's just like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Are we in fifth grade here? What are we doing?
You know, I know.
Are you boys out on the playground?
Yeah,
I mean,
I know.
What are we doing?
Well, it's like, why don't you go out to the playground and settle it and come back in when you're ready to like be an adult, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Duke it out for however long it takes to duke it out and then, you know, be adults and come back in and, because we, you know, the county can't afford to have anything but adults.
Right.
You know,
yeah, it's a shame. A lot of it could be fixed pretty quick too, with just a real regimented chair and just button everything.
Yeah, well,
button everything
so
really
tight.
I know. That
okay.
I'm not.
That hope is gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, Jake.
I know.
Seriously.
I know. I just, you know, because, well, I'm a chairman. So when I view meetings and things mm-hmm. and start to mm-hmm. see how things go awry, that's where my mind always goes back to. And that right. it wouldn't take long just for a few months just to be absolutely rigid and follow the guidelines. And there's no chatting outside of turn, not even nice little comments, not, you know, this whole constant thing of just kind of this big evolving conversation happening. That's not how you do it. That's not how you do it in good times, let alone bad times. When it's bad times, it should be even more regimented, and nobody speaks unless they're recognized by the chair. And then when the floor is given to somebody, you know, the chair can't just take the floor back whenever they want. You know, that's not how that works, for crying out loud. And it's just yeah.
Well, I'm afraid that we're going to be watching the way things don't work for quite a while.
It's
now.
Just,
you know, I mean, we're that's what we're going to be watching. It's like, it's right. It is not supposed to work like that.
Yeah.
It is not supposed to. And it is. It is. And you know what I think happens is that people who might be willing to step forward to actually take on a job like that, mm-hmm. look at what's going on, realize that they probably would have to deal with two of the same people that are there, and just say, nah.
Yeah, just don't want to get involved in it. Yeah.
Mm-mm. Can't.
Because we definitely have the folks here, you know, there's plenty of people here that are perfectly capable of doing a really good job at that. You know, we have them here, but.
Yes.
Yeah, not the right folks. Not the right folks stepping forward to run. You know,
because they don't. The right folks don't want to play with that. They don't want to be in fifth grade out on the playground. That's not what they want to do. They want to be an adult. They want to, you know, they want to make adult decisions and, you know, be serious.
Yeah.
Just like,
yeah. Strange.
You know, I mean, you were saying on your Facebook chat that like Ed, for instance, is up to speed.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That, you know, he got himself up to speed so that when he walks into the city council meeting, his first city council meeting, he's ready to go.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, if he wasn't, there would be some serious brow furring from the rest of the council. Like, what the crap are you doing here? You know, sort of deal. But he's, you know, Ed's been doing it what I consider to be the normal kind of like, of course you would do it that way, you know, watching meetings for months, chatting with individual councilors and city staff and just getting evolved so that learning curve isn't so steep, you know?
Because there's so much to know.
Oh,
there's
right.
There's so much. I mean, you know, that you really do need to know what a lot of the backstory is on everything, right?
Yeah. And, you know, the election was done a while ago. A lot of things happened in between that. And so as soon as Herzog won that election, I just have a hard time believing that he didn't get more prepared. I do have a hard time believing that, but it really seems like he's just completely oblivious to what's been going on there as of late.
And then he just completely decided to not get involved until he was actually sitting in the chair.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. Yeah, really something.
Yeah,
I mean, when Ed won the election, he's not seated yet, but I was communicating with him. I had him come to a council workshop, and I had him sit at the table. You know, it's like, dude, mm-hmm. you're going to be here in a couple months. You better start, you know, you better start listening today. So you're ready to go. And, you know,
exactly.
And guess what? Little old Ed is a volunteer. He doesn't even get stinking paid for it. I mean, holy smokes, man. If he was getting paid for it, now, you know, that's some serious expectations. He should have budget documents.
Right.
I mean, he should be,
Yeah.
He's a professional then, you know?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. If you're getting paid,
if you're getting paid, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So what would we call them? A professional what? I mean, are we...
The commissioners?
What? Yeah.
Yeah.
Professional commissioners?
Well, yeah, because the commissioners have a role as administrators, you know? So, I mean, they should have some professional understanding of administration. And I get that could be an unrealistic expectation to have on a lot of folks that want to run for county commissioner. Hence the reason for some sort of county administrator or operations director.
Exactly.
You know, that's how it works. That's how it should work.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Obviously.
Obviously.
Right.
Right?
I mean, it just seem obvious.
Yeah.
This is not rocket science.
No.
This is, right?
Right.
And when you've got an example like the city council sitting there for you to look at and see how it works,
yeah,
wouldn't you think that
you'd go, right?
That's the way it should be.
Yeah, because, I mean, obviously, it's not just Brookings, you know, and it's not just the other cities in our county. I mean, you look across the country, and this is how, you know, if anything incorporated past the 50s, you know, most all have that council manager form of government. It's because it works.
Right.
It works.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, Jake.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know.
I get depressed talking about the county, man.
I know. I do too. One of the reasons that I don't watch those meetings is because they are so depressing.
Yeah.
You know, I've watched a few, I've watched parts of a few, but it's hard. I mean, it's just hard to watch.
Yeah,
them.
It is. Something's got to happen, and that's part of that's part of why I've been okay chatting about it. You know, typically you wouldn't see anybody, you know, you wouldn't see a city mayor or city councilors talk about the county. It's just it's gotten to that point. It's gotten to that point. And it would be a lot easier for me just to stay neutral on it, right? But
yeah, but how can
how you can be? You be?
I mean,
yeah,
yeah, right.
Yeah, you would call BS on me in a split second, right?
I would have to. Yeah,
it's gotten to that point for sure.
Yeah, it has.
Yeah.
Well, I hate to say it, but do you see that green?
I do.
You know?
There's the latest one too, because we get one every minute until we stop. You know.
Okay, yeah. Tom, we're stopping. All right. Well, we're out of time again. You know, I think that we are in a very dangerous time, both nationally and locally. I think we're on the brink, and we need to walk each other back from the edge. Reach out to someone that you don't necessarily agree with and just have a normal conversation. I mean, that's really the way Jake and I started. Let's start the process of treating each other like the complicated individuals that we are instead of cookie cutter cutout dolls. It has to start here. It has to start with us. We have to be the change that we want to see in the world. Right, Jake?
That's it.
We have to be.
Because
if we aren't,
then
it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right, folks, stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.